It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being locked in all over North America. I don't care what corner, care what lake, what pond, what highway, what byway, what field, farm, mountain, bike, bus, submarine. I don't care where you are, what you're doing. Thank you for being here. I'll be here for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Chris Persian. And we've already had a busy hour or first hour of the show. Okay, we talked about that. Well, I guess if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, it was a miserable ending for you. But we talked about how the Oklahoma City Thunder are one victory away from advancing to the NBA Finals. We talked about some guys who did not show up to work today in the NFL, of course, not you. James Cook wants to get paid by the Buffalo Bills, wasn't at work. Joey Bosa's first year with the Buffalo Bills, already pulled his calf muscle. I guess he still thinks he's in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Kirk Cousins not at work because he doesn't want to be there. Aaron Rodgers is teasing his future with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we have so much more to get into. How about this? A lot of college football news. Scott Docterman is going to join us from The Athletic to talk about what a potential playoff would look like, can look like, if the SEC and the Big Ten say, everybody else, y'all got to take a back seat. We're about to run the playoff. And then there's even a possibility the SEC is just going to say, screw the NCAA. We'll have that conversation with Scott Docterman to just talk about this continuing, changing landscape in college football. Oh, speaking of somebody who's out, how could I forget this? This is a catastrophe. We'll talk about Caitlin Clark. She gone, too. She's going to be gone for a couple of weeks. We don't know how long with a quadriceps injury. And so we have a lot more to do as the show continues on. You want to give me a holler? You can do that. You want to call me? You can. Here's the phone number, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are, well, I want to say minutes away, but not quite. We're about an hour away from game four. The New York Knicks, the Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks, Sunday already avoiding an 0-3 hole. They win a game. Now it's 2-1. The New York Knicks are trying to tie this series up at two games apiece. And the New York Knicks on Sunday, they look done. The New York Knicks are nothing but captain comeback, okay? We saw what they did against the Boston Celtics, but at this point, the Knicks are just giving everybody heart attacks. This is like watching the Undertaker in wrestling. He goes down, he's a dead guy, and he rises up, and he beats the people up. We don't know how this is going to end for the New York Knicks. I mean, the way that they go, I expected the series to go seven games. I expected the New York Knicks to win, and I just gave it to them because of home court advantage. But three games here, the road team has won every single game. And we know about that disastrous New York Knicks loss in game one. That may haunt them throughout the entire series, especially if they lose. And so tonight, the New York Knicks, nobody wants to be in an 0-3 hole. Nobody wants to be in a 3-1 hole. If the Knicks lose tonight, they might as well be done. Ain't nobody looking for them to go out here and make history on a bounce back. I wouldn't expect it, especially the way that they've been playing. And so we have to see Karl-Anthony Towns just become the second coming or be the second coming. Yeah, they dropped 20 points in the fourth quarter, knocking down threes and crossing people up and slam dunks. Karl Anthony Towns had to lose his mind for the New York Knicks to win. Jalen Brunson had 5 fouls. He had to witness a lot of this from the bench. I mean, these two dudes together anyway, they don't play a lot of defense. They moved Josh Hart to the bench. Tom Thibodeau actually played 4 guys off the bench, a minimum 10 minutes. And so the New York Knicks, they found a little bit of life. And then you think about Nesmith, who went down with a sprained ankle, missed 20 points in the fourth quarter myself in that game one, knocking down all those threes. He's going to try to play tonight. Call Anthony Towns himself. He could be up. He could be down. He could be missing. He can go quiet. Jalen Brunson, he talked about his teammate, Karl Anthony Towns, going off on Sunday. And yes, we know he needs to do it again today. Listen to Jalen Brunson.
I saw the same thing you guys saw. I saw a guy go out there who did not want to lose. And so the way he just went out there and basically got that game for us was remarkable.
Man, it'd be nice if he were more aggressive, like on a consistent basis. But this is where you separate guys who are all-stars, like Karl Anthony Towns. And yeah, sure, he might get paid like a superstar, but I'm talking about champs. Guys who just get the job done. I will never forget Giannis Antetokounmpo in the NBA Finals. This man can't hit a free throw to save his life. The man was never afraid to go to the basket. He's like, I'm just going to do what I want. If you're going to foul me, you're going to foul me. I'm not going to change how I play. Karl Anthony Towns sometimes is a guy, if things are not going his way or he does not get the ball, he simply just fades to the background. I mean, not too much of a surprise that he in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, who we talked about earlier on, that they didn't have success. Anthony Edwards has a bad game, and he's saying that he didn't struggle because he made the right pass. No, they need you to take over. That's what they need. Let's see if Karl Anthony Towns can do it again. He had 24 points. 20 points in the fourth quarter. Can you spread that out throughout the game? Be a little bit more consistent? We'll see what happens. I told you about the New York Knicks actually utilizing their bench, not to a massive degree. McBride got 15. Josh Hart played 34. I don't know if this is a joke or not, but Rick Carlisle said, oh, yeah, no, he used the bench. Thibodeau used the bench. No, we weren't shocked.
Their bench guys have had a lot of good stretches all year long and in the playoffs. You know, Payne, who's had some very good stretches, didn't play. I mean, look at this. This is going to be, you know, we had some unexpected guys playing in the second game, and, you know, they made some changes in the third game, and, you know, tomorrow's another new chapter.
Oh, yeah. People can't stand Tom Thibodeau, though. People think he runs his players into the ground. People look at Tom Thibodeau and say that he ruined Luol Deng and he ruined Derrick Rose. Not true. Derrick Rose, the way that guy played, his body was going to break at any minute. Tom Thibodeau gets a bad rap. Good coach. I'd still like to personally also, like a lot of people, see him develop a bench throughout the course of the season. I think he can do a better job at that. But now his own team, his own players are answering questions about their usage. I mean, Mikal Bridges about two months ago, he's like, it'd be nice to get a break every now and then. The guy wants to play every game. And then even Jalen Brunson, who's kind of in lockstep with Tom Thibodeau, was asked about Thibodeau being set in his ways and never wanting to change. And Jalen Brunson is just like, man, I don't listen to that crap.
It's definitely unfair, but people are entitled to their opinion. People are entitled to say or think whatever they want. For the most part, as a team, as an organization, there's always going to be a lot of noise, positive or negative. And so it's all about what we think, it's all about what we do, all about the work we put in and day out.
Yeah, that's why the guy's a Knicks captain. He ain't giving nobody anything. He's not serving anything up. He's not starting a controversy. I mean, you got a lot of star players who would open up their mouths, and whether they realized it or not, just become a distraction. That's not what Jalen Brunson does. It's not his MO. Hopefully he's not in foul trouble tonight and he can stay out on the court so we can see a battle with Tyrese Halliburton. And I'll get to Tyrese Halliburton in a second. Chris, what are your thoughts on Thibodeau and his bench usage? People beat him up. What are your thoughts?
JR, I think that everything in the world has good to it and has bad to it. Anything, like, you can, you know, that those are the two ways to break it down. I think Tom Thibodeau, unlike a lot of other coaches who change and adapt and learn and grow over the course of their careers to extents that make them, you know, would you say, like, here's an example. Would you say Kenny Atkinson is a different coach in Cleveland than he was in Brooklyn? Because he does.
From I can't tell. I know he has different talent to work with. I'd say no from the outset. I thought he was a good coach, period.
I can't, you know, I've talked to Kenny about this, and he said, like, you know, even if it was just from the nerves of it being my first time, like, I'm much more confident in myself now. So, like, he would say he's changed a little bit. You know, Tom Thibodeau, when he changes, it's in little tiny ways, like letting Emmanuel quickly shoot from 28 feet outside the basket. That was only because of months of quickly making it from 30 in practice. So he really needs that extra nudge to change his ways. But I think the reason his negatives get so honed in on is because they've always been the same. It's really easy to watch the Knicks or the Timberwolves or the Bulls play over the course of the season and see a lot of the same issues in game 81 that you saw in game 2. But the thing is, overall, I think he's a good coach. I just do think his stubbornness makes way for easy layup, low-hanging fruit criticisms.
Yeah. I mean, the only guy that I ever looked at and said, oh, my God, this guy is Lou Alden. There wasn't even ever criticism about Derrick Rose. Always found that to be ridiculous. But he played the living hell out of Lou Alden. And you think about some of the Bulls rosters and who he had on that team, especially when Derrick Rose went down. He really didn't have much of a choice but to put Lou Alden out there and tell him, say, hey, go out there and go to work. So Tom Thibodeau will be crucified in every which way. He's really going to be crucified if the New York Knicks lose this series. And what else is new? We could have went ahead and predicted that a long time ago. Somebody who will be in attendance tonight, John Halliburton. Yes, the father of Tyrese Halliburton is back. After eliminating the Milwaukee Bucks, Tyrese Halliburton knocks down the big three to win the game. We all remember his dad walking onto the court, making a U-turn to stand directly in front of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis said what he said to him was wrong. Yelling and cursing at him was wrong. Tyrese Halliburton said what his dad said was wrong. His father apologized and said what he did was wrong. And then the very next day, John Halliburton was on television, a local TV interview, explaining that he wasn't talking or yelling at Giannis, but he was looking past him. He was standing directly in front of this 6'11", 7-foot freak, but he was looking through him. I guess John Halliburton has superpowers. And so now that the Indiana Pacers are back home, now that we're here in a series, they have a chance to move things along. Charles Barkley, I don't want to say he started, but he started campaigning for the return of John Halliburton after the Pacers said, it's probably best for you to not attend any more games anywhere for at least the rest of the season. Charles Barkley last week was just like, yeah, he should come back. Listen to this.
It's time to let Mr. Halliburton back in the building.
Yes, it is.
Adam, I'm asking you, hey, my man paid his dues. He did something really, really stupid, but he's been punished. And I'm asking you and the Indiana Pacers to let Mr. Halliburton back in the building for game 3 and 4. I mean, he paid his dues. It shouldn't be indefinite. He's been punished enough. He would never do anything that stupid again. So, Adam, you know how much I love you. And my man Kevin Pritchett, y'all let Mr. Halliburton back in the building for game 3. Oh, because let me tell you something. He won't come up to New York like that.
No, you don't want him. You don't want him in this building. No, but back home,
come
sure.
Tell you something. He come up to New York doing that crazy stuff. He won't make it back to Indy.
Oh, well, he'll be in attendance tonight. He reportedly will be in a suite. They're keeping this man away from the basketball court. I just hope that TNT doesn't make his appearance an event. I know this is not the NFL. I mean, sometimes the NBA, the course of action and the length of the games, it certainly can feel spaced out like an NFL game. But when we get these NFL breaks and we get a crowd shot or we get a celebrity shot, and not necessarily basketball, who you got courtside is who you got. I'll show you some celebrities and what have you before the game and during the break. So just show Halliburton once before the game and do us a favor. Don't show him again. And I'm pretty sure the NBA is pretty much going out of their way to say the same thing. Hey, you are sitting upstairs because you are a jackass to one of our players. Stay upstairs and be happy that we let you back into the building.
Hey, this go is going to be like Taylor Swift and MetLife when they were playing the Jets on the road.
But remind me, Chris.
Oh, well, in the midst of the Taylor, Travis Kelce, hubbaloo, hubbubs, hoopla, when the Chiefs had a road game at MetLife, they were showing her, like Zach Wilson completed a pass. They're like, let's see what Taylor Swift's reaction to that was.
Yeah, I hope not. Just show the man. Just show him once. Keep him moving. Hey, he was punished. He was punished for a reason. Let's see if the New York Knicks can handle their business and kind of stay away from having to see Halliburton again. And Charles Barkley is right. This man is not going to be on the road. So, hey, enjoy the suite. Have some food. Have a drink. I don't know. Maybe having a drink for John Halliburton is a bad idea. The next thing you know, he'll be talking to the media again on local television. I don't think the NBA, the Pacers, or maybe even Tyrese Halliburton want any of that. The New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers, they're in action in about 45 minutes from now. The Knicks are trying to tie the series up at 2 games apiece. The Pacers are trying to go up on the Knicks 3-1. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, it's time to have a chat with Scott Dochterman. There have been so many rumors and so many reports and so many press conferences, so many interviews about what the future of the college football playoff is going to look like. Is the SEC, you know, is the SEC and the Big Ten, are they bullying their way around college football to change it or ruin it completely? We'll give you an update and talk with Scott Dochterman on the other side of the break. You're locked in. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's May. Man, I'm itching for football. We got a lot of football going on. We talked about some of the news going on in the professional ranks, who showed up to work, who's not at OTAs. But we got some news in the world of college football as well. We saw an adjustment to the playoff seedings. It looks like we might have a future expansion, which we also and pretty much guessed on. But then it looks like we might have a couple of conferences that might be bullying their way around the NCAA. To talk about some of these issues in college football, it's time to have a chat with someone who covers college football from a national perspective. Right now, we're being joined by Scott Dochterman from The Athletic. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time and joining us. I mean, so many questions about conferences leaving the NCAA and the playoff format, what have you. My first question to you is, what are your thoughts on the approved new format that we'll be seeing coming up this year?
Yeah, I think it was a necessary step, and it couldn't have gone worse when you talk about seeding and the first 12-team playoff. If this would have happened after the 2023 season, nothing would have changed. In fact, at that point, you had Michigan, you had Washington, you had Texas, and you had Alabama all in the playoff, and they were the champions of their team, of their conferences, and it looked perfect. Last year, when you have the ACC have a, you know, Clemson not didn't play very well, and you had teams falling off, that's when the whole seeding looked out of whack. So it did need to be adjusted. I mean, I kind of hate that now it's going to be really subjective and placed on the committee as to who's one, two, three, and four. It would have been the two teams from the SEC and two from the Big Ten last year. So I think this was a necessary step. It just now can really skew heavy towards those two leagues.
Well, Scott, down in Orlando, we're getting so much news. Some of it, I don't even know if it's news or if we want to call it a mess. We have this new proposal by the Big Ten and the SEC to basically bogart more of the playoff spots and what would be a 16-team expansion where they would get the majority. They would get 4 each. What are your thoughts on that? How realistic do you think that is?
I think it's very realistic that it can happen. I think right now there are a lot of different proposals and nobody's really sold on how it's all going to be incorporated. I can understand from the perspective of those two leagues, in particular after their recent expansions, that they're so deep and they're filled with such good teams. What they hate to see is something like a 9-3 team that lost to, say, 3 teams ranked in the top 15, not be able to get in the tournament, whereas you might have in a different league somebody go 10-2 and play a weak schedule, but because they're 10-2, they get in over them. So I think that's why they want to make sure to protect 4 teams. But then you start to kind of ruin the randomness in some ways. You know, maybe one year the Big 12 might need 3 teams that are good enough but might not be able to squeeze in here. And I think the proposal is It's fair, but I think some of the other mechanisms, such as incorporating another first round and more buys, and then more buys into the second round, I think that's foolhardy. I think they're going to have to just, if they want to make this work, they're going to have to do it 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, because otherwise, if you start giving more teams buys at the top and it just isn't going to work out. It's going to be too confusing for everybody.
Well, Scott, what would the timeline be on such an implementation? I guess settling at least on what a format would look like.
Yeah, they traditionally go all the way to the last minute and then a couple of minutes beyond before they figure things out, which is why we finally got seeding here done in May for the upcoming season. I would expect this to be something that probably doesn't get finalized until next spring. There'll be a lot of saber rattling, as we've seen in Destin right now at the SEC meetings. There'll be a lot of quiet, almost passive aggressiveness from the Big Ten. And you'll see some backlash from the other leagues. But it really, until they are forced into a deadline, they're probably not going to come out with the true proposal. But I do think that it's going to go to 16. That's inevitable.
And Scott Docterman is joining us, covers all things college football for The Athletic. You talk about what's going on down in Florida right now. And we've heard about the SEC saying, hey, you know, we're big, we're bad, we brought over, you know, Oklahoma and Texas now. Is there a real possibility that they could say, we don't need the NCAA?
There is a possibility. I think it would have to come in conjunction with the Big Ten, though. I don't know that they unilaterally could, you know, secede from the NCAA without having the Big Ten with it. And I do think that there is some real urgency to changing that structure in light of what was going to happen with the House settlement. And once it's finalized and dropped out in California, hopefully soon, that there's going to need some changes. Now, the SEC and the Big Ten have kind of been tired, and as well as some of the other leagues, of propping up the NCAA for several years and not going far enough when you've got an organization with 350 people, or 350 programs at the Division I level, counting all the basketball teams. It's kind of, you know, there's a huge difference between, say, Notre Dame and Chicago or Chicago yeah. State or somebody like that. So you need to make some changes there. And I could see the SEC and Big Ten deciding to form its own governance structure. I think that might be a little bit too much for them to bite off, but the NCAA has really failed in its mission for a long time. And that's why we're seeing kind of a wild, wild west, you know, reality with NIL and some of the other things, because they lose court cases every year. I mean, they're a, you know, mush when it comes to the court system.
Well, Scott, we knew that this was coming to a certain degree. There was going to come a point in time where there was going to be NIL. The players were going to be allowed to make money, and now we're going to see how and when the mechanism is for the players to get paid via the schools. It's just so much, and it feels like a lot of this has changed over the past 5 and 6 years. But as you mentioned, from a legal perspective, cases have gone on for decades now. Are you surprised at how fast things have changed over about the past 5 or 6 years?
Not as much. I think right around 2013 and 14 was when you could see the groundswell of support for athlete pay go up dramatically. We saw a couple of things happen then that really set the stage for what we see now. One was a former Northwestern quarterback, Kane Coulter, came out and tried to bring his team into a union. And initially, yep. But the Chicago chapter of the National Labor Relations Board came out and approved it. Later on in a full vote, it was denied. However, the points that he made, and, you know, it should have really scared them into thinking we need to make some changes now. Likewise, even something small like Shabazz Napier from UConn coming out saying, I go to bed hungry every night during the NCAA tournament. Now, they didn't make changes to the food policy, but when you start to see the combination of all these things going on, it needed to spur something quickly. And the NCAA chose to fight it all the way to the Supreme Court for the Alston case and now the House settlement. And it lost 9-0 in the most polarized Supreme Court in American history. It shows you that there is just the NCAA was fighting a losing battle. It never wanted to change. And then it just dramatically shifted so quickly that now everybody's trying to catch their breath. And had they done something in 2016 they could have controlled it a lot better. This is just the inaction has spawned these reactions.
It's Scott Docterman here from The Athletic. Scott, as we start to wrap things up, as we talk more about it, I guess, dare I say, a little bit more of an immediate future, what could things look like with the transfer portal? I know that Kirby Smart had some questions and concerns about when is it, how's it going to change? We got guys transferring during the playoffs, and it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, there does need to be some adjustments to it. But, you know, one of the adjustments the coaches want to make is to end the April transfer portal, and you're going to get sued right away, and you're going to lose right away if you do that. I mean, how many kids, you know, and I call them kids, I mean, they're young adults, but they go into spring football and they're going into their junior year, and this is their chance to prove that they are worthy of the two deep. Well, if they don't crack the two deep, then they need an option to do something different. And so I don't understand the reluctance to allowing this to happen. But I think that there does need to be some changes. And I wrote a 10-part list on what needs to change. And one of them is to push the transfer portal in the next semester so you don't have this urgency to have to get into school and start classes January 8th or 5th or 15th or whatever. That's part of it. But it's there are so many things right now in line. I think the portal they need to leave as is until they straighten out some of the other issues.
Yeah, you talk about changes. North Carolina is certainly going through a change, Scott. Do you think things have settled down for a little while with Mr. Belichick? Are we past the TMZ part of things, or is it just going to permeate throughout the whole year?
You know, if Jordan Hudson can stay out of the headlines, then I think it'll slide down a little while, and we won't really see much or hear much from this type of issue for a while. But if she's in the forefront and, you know, she answers the door, and, you know, when somebody's knocking on Bill's door or something like that, I mean, then yeah, it could be really, it could be out there again. And the thing you've got to worry about if you're a college coach is the next 6 weeks, any small thing will jump immediately to the forefront. If somebody gets an OWI or a DUI, it becomes front page news, because this is the time of year where college football kind of fades to the background. And so one small move, you know, a car accident, whatever, it jumps up. So if she and Bill are walking, holding hands in Atlantic City, everybody's going to know it.
Yeah, well, we already saw the man walk out the house one day and ended up on a Ring camera. It's a crazy world that we live in. Hey, Scott, I know you cover all things college football. Also know you're out of Iowa. Bad, terrible news with Caitlin Clark, right? I feel like the economy now and women's basketball is going to tank.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a glimpse over the next 2 weeks as to what women's the WNBA will be like without Caitlin Clark. You're going to see a drop in ratings. You know, prices for those games have dropped dramatically already. I mean, she is the golden goose. She was certainly here at Iowa for 4 years, where she could do no wrong, and she was like a rock star going to these other arenas too. I think you're going to get the same thing in the WNBA, and I'm sure right now CBS and the WNBA is just cannot believe their bad luck that the Sky game against the Fever that was set for a Saturday night in prime time on CBS, she's not going to appear. So I think the interest will drop. So I think they need to protect their golden goose a little bit better, and that's both PR-wise and on the court.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. Hey, Scott, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work following college football?
Yeah, thanks. I'm on X at Scott Docterman. I'm also on Blue Sky and at The Athletic. Just follow me under college football, and we got some news this week. So appreciate you giving me the plug there.
Oh, no doubt about it. Thank you for taking the time. We'll catch you down the line, Scott, okay?
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
No doubt about it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Every week there's something new, something different about what's changing in college football. It's like every month something is different. Maybe one day they will have some stability, but when have they ever had stability? The answer is never. And now we're really moving into the wild, wild west. We're in it already. You know what? When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll talk more about Caitlin Clark, because there is going to be a massive, and already has been a massive impact now that she is out with this quadriceps injury that they're saying will take, what, 2 weeks minimum for her to return. And doesn't mean that she's going to pop up back on the court in 2 weeks. So we'll get into that. Hey, we'll talk Knicks and Pacers are waiting on them to get underway in about 30 minutes or so. This is a lot more for us to do. But right now here on the Infinity Sports Network, it's time for a newsflash. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Scott Docterman for joining us in the last break to talk about all these wild changes in college football. Some that we've seen, more that we will see as it relates to the college football playoff. One of the things that really stood out to me is him saying that there is a possibility that the SEC and the Big Ten just form like Voltron and decide to say screw the NCAA. I don't know how long that would take. It sounds like it would take more than a decade for them to even just get that all together. So thank you so much to Scott Docterman for joining us. If you missed that conversation, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I told you as we spoke with Scott, as he's based in Iowa, and obviously the biggest star, the biggest celebrity out of Iowa is Caitlin Clark. And over the weekend, unfortunately, there was bad news for Caitlin Clark. I want you to take a listen to this clip played via the local news in Iowa. This is their Channel 5. Take a listen to this.
All new tonight, Indiana Fever superstar Caitlin Clark will miss the team's next few games because of an injury. The Fever say Clark has a left quadricep strain and will be out at least 2 weeks. The Fever did not say when Clark was injured. Clark is currently averaging 19 points, 6 assists, and 9 rebounds per game this season. Her second in the league.
Listen, this is her second season in the league. Caitlin Clark. She's dropping about 20 points and leading the league with 9 assists a game. A lot of people don't want to hear this. Angel Reese may want to hear this, so this is why she says she doesn't want to talk about the past. Caitlin Clark has a different impact on the game, has had a different impact on the game. Angel Reese might be a celebrity now in her own right. She is still, unfortunately, criticized a whole hell of a lot online and missing free throws and missing layups. And that's what happens. But Caitlin Clark, some of the numbers are just mind-blowing. And you think about her being gone over the next 2 weeks. Yeah, there's a nationally televised game next Saturday in Chicago that Caitlin Clark won't be a part of. They play Wednesday, the Indiana Fever do, on NBA television. That's tomorrow. Okay, and all of these games are in big arenas. Every single one of Caitlin Clark's games have been moved from, 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 seat arenas into NBA style size arenas. We're talking 20K. And so it's just massive when you think about her being gone, what it means for the league. Here's some numbers about Caitlin Clark. There were tickets for that game next Saturday, Indiana versus Chicago. The get-in price has now fallen to like $71 just to get in. I know people can't offload their tickets fast enough. The average purchase price for a Fever Sky game went from $210 to $95. Caitlin Clark generated 27% of the league's economic activity last year. Okay, there's predictions that for this season, the overall impact on the league because of her could reach $1 billion for the first time. The valuation of the team, it's moved from $90 million to an estimated $340 million because she's on the team. And so, yeah, people want to show up and see some of the other players. But when it comes to Caitlin Clark, she's in a space of her own. We had the conversation here on the airwaves a few weeks ago, based off a conversation that I believe Bill Simmons had. It goes without saying, here in 2025, as it stands right now, is May 27th, 2025, Caitlin Clark is the most popular women's athlete in the country. Flat Period. Serena Williams is now retired and done. We see Simone Biles every 4 years. We don't know if we'll see her back out in Los Angeles. I think that might be her farewell. I couldn't tell you another athlete stateside that could rival the popularity of Caitlin Clark. Chris, am I missing a woman? Is there anybody anywhere close?
I don't think so, JR.
I'm trying to think of anybody that would even potentially be. Is there anybody even in the atmosphere, stratosphere?
Listen, man, maybe a couple planets away, but personally, I got something in the works to get out there pretty soon, but I haven't been able to get that to go yet. So it's in the works along with my push my birthday back 2 weeks every year, so I never get old. So all those things are in the works.
You're creating a female athlete in a lab? What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying. Maybe there's an alien female athlete out there somewhere, indestructible, never misses a shot, it. But I can't get out to space far enough to find one.
I understand. I get it. I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. I'm like, what is Chris talking about?
That's a good question. That's an evergreen question.
What's an evergreen question?
What the hell am I talking about?
Oh, well, it's quite possible. Coco Gauff is not in the space. If Serena was still playing, I think that she might be the only rival in that space. But, it stinks. I mean, I remember seeing Caitlin Clark. She rolled through here in Atlanta, and it's night and day. And she's a traveling star. That's just what she is. I know, for instance, this past weekend, Beyonce was in New York, I think, for almost like an entire week doing shows. And Beyonce comes to town, people want to show up. Taylor Swift shows up to town, people want to go. Caitlin Clark is no different, except for she's out there shooting a basketball. When I saw her come here to Atlanta last year, it typically you go to an Atlanta Dream game, and it's in a smaller arena. And it's one thing, you move it to the big arena, and the suites are filled up. The alcohol is being poured. The parking prices are going up. You have to have more engineers and staff and servers. And so when you think about it that way from an economic, or her as an economic driver, like she's in a space all by herself. 20K in arena just to see Caitlin Clark. Like, I'm disappointed from a basketball perspective, because I got to be honest, there ain't no other WNBA player that I sit down and go, hey, I got to go ahead and check her out. It's Caitlin Clark. And if she is playing a rivalry game against Angel Reese, that's certainly must watch. There's a good reason that's programmed for ABC in prime time. It's because there's an interest for people to watch. But I'll tell you this much. Are people going to go gung-ho to see the Indiana Fever versus Washington? No. Connecticut? No. Not at all. And so we have to see how all this continues to shake out. Just real bad, not just for Caitlin Clark fans, but for people who went out there and bought these tickets as well. Pretty sad, pretty bad in that regard. Hopefully she comes back in 2 weeks. She had a history of not leg issues. She's been relatively healthy, but dating back to when she was in high school. And so maybe the wear and tear, basically going from college, getting a quick break, coming into the WNBA. She had a break when they stopped for the Olympics, and then she came out on fire afterwards. She put on muscle. Maybe she's going a little too hard. Everybody needs a little bit of a break every now and then. Just real sad. Caitlin Clark is out. I don't think she's missed a game, they said, since, I think, sophomore year in high school.
I was going to say, I don't think she missed a single one at Iowa.
No, didn't miss a game out there. I think they said sophomore year in high school. And so she's due. I don't want to say you're due for a break when you got a quad issue, but the sooner that Caitlin Clark can come back, the better. She is the driver for the WNBA. They know private planes and big arenas for some of these teams. And as Scott Docterman shared with us last break, the WNBA and its players, they should do a good job in embracing her. Like, yeah, go ahead and bully her out on the basketball court. You know, don't be dirty now. be competitive. Everybody wants to go at the person at the top of the totem pole. That's her. I hope she comes back sooner than later. Let's just put it that way. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. People wanted to see Michael Jordan, okay? People wanted to go ahead and see the Muhammad Ali's. People want to see the best of the best. Caitlin Clark is the best of the best, making that money for the WNBA. I know everybody wants to see her sooner than later. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, hey, how about this? The New York Knicks and the Pacers, they're now minutes away from tipping off Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We got to wait a couple of years for the Olympics, 3 more years. I told you we might see Simone Biles. We know we are going to see some flag football. And it looks like we got some beef again as to who will be participating and who's not. We're going to talk some NBA, some football, some Olympics, Jalen Ramsey, a lot. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.